Live from the Vienna Sausage Factory in Brussels, Illinois, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, orchard manager, retired statesman, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers. A man who once killed two groundhogs with one shot, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, are you ready? Marksman, sculptor, yo-yoist. The seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who once brought down a deer at 1,000 yards. The youngest of the Ringhausen brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yay! And into the podcast studio with us, we have one of the bravest men alive, Craig Johnson.
Craig Johnson, welcome back again.
Hey, thanks.
Nice to see you again.
Yeah.
I say you're one of the bravest men. You came to this dump again.
We just upgraded a little every time you come, though.
Yeah.
Every time you pay a little more, we get some better equipment. We put it right back into the system.
Right.
You'll notice you have a new spit screen because you ruined the last one.
Right. I left my 75 cents on the desk. Is that where you wanted it?
Or? All right, I'm going to stop playing with my slanky.
Slanky.
Is that a term that we don't want to know about? Okay, in the intro, you said that we were broadcasting from the Vienna Sausage Factory, which we're not, but I have a daughter, my youngest daughter, graduated from college with a degree in food science. So she was putting out applications to, you know, a bunch of different places that produce various different food items. And one of the places you got an offer to go to work at was the Spam Factory, the Spam Company, Hormel.
Yeah.
And
they make Vienna sausages,
there's
too.
A town, I want to say, up in Wisconsin that is called Spamville. The guy founded the Spam Company. It was a small town and basically owned everything.
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and they call it Spamville. And they offered her a job to go to work in Spamville, you know, in like one of the administrative positions. And she thought that living in a small town that had a singular focus of spam might not be,
you know, not a lot of career advancement. You know, when you've
decided the height of culture there.
When you've decided that, all right, I'm going to spend my entire life in Spamville.
But when Brad found out that she turned down that job, he cried.
It was his dream job.
He had an emotional breakdown. He thought, oh, I got a niece that's going to work for Spam. I'm set for life.
He has emotional breakdowns all the time.
Well, that's
usually
true.
They result in violence.
Now, Craig, have you ever cooked Spam?
No, I like the idea of Spam more than I actually like it. I don't like Spam.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
Well, don't like Spam? You don't like Spam?
You ever? This doesn't have much Spam in it.
Well, if he's not going to eat his Spam, I'll have it.
I love it.
I love Spam.
Spam, eggs, spam, cheese, spam, and spam. Spam. Doesn't got much Spam in it.
Okay. Have you ever eaten Spam?
Yeah, I don't.
But you don't care for it. Does other people in your family eat Spam?
Yeah.
My brother loves it. Or is it one of these things that because you don't eat it, nobody else gets to have it?
My brother Matt loves it. When they were in Korea, the Koreans love it too. And
Koreans love Spam. Yeah. Hawaiians love it. It's the national food of Hawaii.
Really? Yeah, about Vienna sausages? Eat Vienna sausages?
No, I don't like them either. I'm kind of picky.
I was going to ask, when you pull them out, do you wash the goo off of them or you just
That's just part of the flavor. Leave it alone, Rick. But Brad was, at one point in his life, would open a can of Spam, leave it whole, and inject it with flavoring and put it on the grill and grill the entire chunk of Spam and eat it.
Inject it with flavoring?
Yes.
Like what?
I don't know, but there he was going through this period
like Cajun seasoning?
When he was, you know, like grilling
like
meat.
Like a gourmet.
And, you know, he would, you know, like season it what is it when you soak it overnight?
Marinate it.
Marinate it and inject it. He was, you know, like making everything super flavorful. I think he may have gotten over that. Now he just eats it as fast as he can. Anyway.
How about fried bologna, Johnson? You eat fried bologna?
I eat regular bologna. I don't really care for it fried.
Well, you have tried it, though, fried. Yeah. And turned your nose up at it?
Yeah, you know, with the, like the cuts and all that? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you have to put a slice in it. Right. So when it fries, it turns into Pac-Man.
Otherwise, otherwise it'll dome on you.
No, right. You don't want that, and it's not evenly cooked.
Right.
Starts doming up on you, then you got crispy edges with a raw center.
You know, God love our mother who made every meal. I can't remember ever making a meal growing up. Mom did all that. But, you know, when you've decided, today I'm just going to fry bologna for the kids. I
mean, kind of mailing it in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you're not knocking yourself dead that day for a meal, are you?
Yeah, but, you know, what if it's the situation, God, those kids love fried bologna. I'm going to give them a treat today.
And not only am I going to get fried bologna, I'm going to get the blue bologna, beef bologna, instead of the red pork bologna.
Getting all highbrow on us here.
Is that the difference when that rhyme?
Yeah.
Okay, if you were going to work at a factory that produced an edible.
Yeah. Like orchards.
What would you want it to be?
Apples.
Hey, orchard's not really a factory, though.
It's cider.
I worked in a bagel bakery before, a factory.
Because you wanted to?
A bagel factory? Yeah. Or was it something that was like it was like job placement?
Like a real bagel where they cook them in water?
Yeah. Yeah, they would go through
what
a boiler.
What do you mean?
They would get formed.
They bake them.
And then go through a boiler.
I think a bagel's boiled.
It gets boiled. And then it goes into a blast freezer. And then after that, it gets shipped off. And then they can proof it and bake it themselves, like in store or whatever.
Where was a bagel factory?
Yeah.
It was in Maryland Heights, Missouri.
A bagel factory in Missouri?
Yeah, Maryland Heights. And
I thought you had to make bagels on the Upper East Side in New York, and that was the only place where you got bagels.
So you get out of school and say, I think I'm going to make bagels for a living.
No.
And that's how you got a job in a bagel factory?
No, that's not how it happened.
Did you eat them?
Yeah. They would have to cook off so many for quality control. And
you were the quality control. Feed them to Johnson.
He's the floor guy.
So the quality control would put them in this bin, and everybody was allowed to take a sack or two home a day.
Were you the guy at the end of the line that would hold the bagel up and say, would I eat this? Would I eat this? Would I eat this?
No, but
would I eat this?
Maintenance was backed by the quality control, and as soon as they were done cooling and they had made their checks, sometimes the maintenance guys would get to pull them off the rack still hot before they would ever go out to the floor.
My question is, if you had a choice of jobs, why didn't you get a job in a donut factory instead of a bagel factory?
Yeah, why Little Debbie's? I'm going to go to work at Little Debbie factory.
Well, that's a good idea. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
How old were you? 38?
No, I was like 25, 26.
Was it you wanted to do this or was it a punishment?
Or did you just kind of go through your skill sets and say, bagels it is?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah, but, you know, like you could be working at the Snickers factory.
Didn't have one of those in Maryland Heights.
Or you could be working at the Jelly Belly factory.
Okay, actually, since we got Johnson here, you're ex-military, right? Or home guard or
Air Force.
You're still in it, or
no,
you?
I retired.
You're off
the
list now.
Are you in uniform right now?
I'm not. Well, that's Kiss Army.
Kiss
shirt,
Army.
So, yeah.
What does Kiss stand for? We had this discussion here not long ago.
Well, it doesn't stand for anything. No, but if you wanted me to give the answer you're looking for, it's Kids in Satan's Service. But that's not the case.
That's what it meant when I was in high school.
No, I didn't mean that at
Craig,
all.
Craig, thank you for your service, by the way.
Hey, thanks.
Of Satan.
When you're in the military, did you get to question the orders that were given to you at all?
Are you thinking, Rick?
Well,
you're going to get kicked out.
It's the modern army.
He's going to lose his pension, man.
It's modern army.
I'm guard. I haven't even started to receive it yet.
You look old.
Were you allowed any leeway at all in that regard?
As long as it was a lawful order, no.
Sarge, why are we doing this?
Yeah, well, but also...
He wasn't in Vietnam.
Also, I was Air Force, so it's not like like the real military.
It's like in Afghanistan. That's just as bad.
Yeah? Weren't you over in Afghanistan?
I wasn't.
No.
No.
So Rick's just making things up about your career right now.
I was in Kyrgyzstan. It's different Stan.
Kurdistan. I don't know if that's better.
It's better. Trust me.
If you've never been to Afghanistan, how can you know?
Because Kyrgyzstan is where the Army and Marines came back to for R&R when they left Afghanistan.
Did you ever kill an enemy force with a sword?
Not that I know of.
Okay. How about a bayonet? You ever bayonet anybody?
No, I've never attached a bayonet.
You didn't go through training.
Did I not tell
you
guys I was in the Air Force? Did that not happen already?
like a big sandbag or bag of hay that you have to
charge at and go kill.
Not only was I,
our dad said that he had to do that. You had to yell kill when you're.
I was a mechanic, so I mean,
oil,
grease,
oil can
what?
My mouth.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Kurdistan, wasn't that part of the Soviet Union?
I'm sure it was at one point.
But I mean, they weren't...
Back during the USSR days?
Yeah, you weren't there during the USSR days. They became like their own country, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about any of that, but those Ukraine girls really knocked me out.
Oobie doobie. Well, they're all in the army now. Did you have women? Did you have women in service when you were there?
Yeah.
Did we? I'm sorry. We shouldn't speak. Go ahead and answer that question.
No. Yes, we did. I got a feeling this whole segment's getting cut, so that's fine. No.
Oh no. Okay. No. We feel you're leading us down the wrong path, Craig.
I don't see a man or a woman. I just see a captain.
No. Now, when you joined the military, was it a run away from home thing or?
No.
With someone looking for you.
I was getting ready to graduate from Rankin, and I signed up for delayed enlistment and went in after I graduated from college.
Oh, that's cool. Where'd you have to go first?
San Antonio.
Texas?
Did you learn how to stroll?
No, Idaho.
No, we did not do the San Antonio stroll.
You didn't do the San Antonio stroll?
Did you get leave to go into San Antonio?
We did, but I didn't go.
Wait a minute. You took leave, but you didn't go into town?
No, they give us like 72 hours off, but I had family come in for graduation, so I just stayed with them.
Okay.
That's
nice. I didn't do the River Walk or any of the San Antonio, the Alamo. I didn't go to the basement, look for Pee Wee's bike, none of that.
They don't, you see, I would think the Army would staff the Alamo. Oh. Don't you think?
It seems like they should. It's like a military installation.
Yeah. You should have Army there. You should have to do a tour.
Wait, the Alamo is an Army installation and not a
military
park?
I should say military.
Well, it's...
No, we're dubbing it as such right now.
It should be.
Yeah.
Oh. But it is a federal park, though, right?
It's an historic site, probably.
I think the state runs the Alamo.
State of Texas?
The state of Texas.
The Republic of Texas?
Yeah.
Huh.
Don't mess with Texas.
No. Uh-uh. You know who's buried there? John Wayne's buried there.
No.
Davy Crockett.
No.
When John Wayne made the Alamo movie, they built an identical Alamo just outside of San Antonio. Filmed it there.
Did they leave that one up?
Yeah. You can go to either one.
You can visit the fake Alamo.
Yeah. Now, why you would do that when the real one's right in the middle of town is a mystery. When I went to the Alamo... Sue and I, my wife and I, we ran into
Jerry and Bonnie Seavers.
I knew it. That I went for that again.
Were they imprisoned there?
They love brown signs.
Were they imprisoned there?
No.
Okay.
No, they were wandering around free.
Were they in the basement?
No, but then you know, it's interesting. You run into somebody you know like that. And we know Jerry pretty good. But then the question is, for politeness sake, how long do you have to, like, hang out with them before you split up and they go to some other room or you go...
I'm surprised you acknowledged them.
It's the Larry David stop and chat.
So how long do you think, Craig?
2 minutes.
And that's it. Yeah. Even if it's someone you know, like Jerry. Well, you know Jerry's good. Yeah. You run into Jerry someplace.
Yeah. Say, imagine meeting you here. Crazy small world. How you guys doing? All right, well, we're off to see the basement.
See you later.
We're obviously going the opposite direction you are.
Do you say?
Right. You wouldn't have met each other if you weren't.
Yeah, if we were going the same way, we'd just be behind you.
Yeah, we'd walking side by side.
You'd have never seen them.
But what about when you get to that point? Should we meet up for dinner? Or are you going to ruin their trip by forcing them to have to hang out
yeah,
with
you? Yeah, you always let the other person suggest that.
Well, I think the big factor is whether
you
or not they're...
You didn't date much, did you?
I think the big factor is whether or not they're a closed mouth eater.
Oh, yeah, that's
that really
true.
Determines whether you're making dinner plans.
So, Rick, is Jerry a closed mouth eater or not? I guess that's the question.
Yeah, he's pretty tight-lipped.
Okay.
We need another commercial. You want to do a commercial?
I'd love to.
Hold on. Let's see what we got here.
And this is the first commercial we've ever asked Craig to read.
Here you go.
Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Dr. C.J. Fong's All-Purpose Bridge Grease.
Bridge tenders.
Is it becoming more? Simply apply, Doc. Onto the fulcrum. And your bridge span will be going up. Don't wait until your lift span is stuck in the down position. Get yours today. Dr. Fong's all-purpose bridge grease made in the USA.
Amen.
Amen.
There's no tariff on the bridge grease.
I don't know about that.
Well, it's made in the USA.
Oh, it's made in the USA. Then it would be. Unless we were exporting it.
And female bridge tenders. You'll love it, too.
We don't have any of those.
It's not like the Army, man.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Let me combine a couple of lines of thought that we've had here today. So you're ex-military.
Right.
And Rick, you're talking about meeting people you know in strange places.
Yeah.
While you were in military service, did you ever encounter somebody that you knew from like back home?
No.
Okay, let's move on.
All right.
No.
You ever run into anybody? What's the...
Well, he did, but they didn't want to talk to him.
They turned around and walked the other way.
Oop, there's Craig. He eats with his mouth open.
And the reason I never met them is they saw me first, and they went the other way.
There you go.
For sure.
Simple explanation. Okay, here's the other...
Wait. Okay. Before you go on that...
Yes, Rick?
Sue and I are at Niagara Falls.
And she sees you from across the way and ignores you.
No.
Okay.
We're at Niagara Falls.
She wishes she would.
And you know your story about the about being at the Yucatan and standing at the top of the pyramid and someone goes, Allie!
Yeah.
We're...
And then they said, jump!
So they really knew you.
So my Niagara Falls is going to be the same thing. No, I hear the same. Rick Ringhausen. Except that I have to this day do not know who called us out and said hello. Just came up. They would have had dinner with us, I'm sure. Except we were... in a hurry to get someplace else.
Okay, so...
Joe wasn't there to tell you who it was?
No.
Okay. You were standing at the edge of the rail at Niagara Falls, and a guy comes up from behind you and says, Rick, remember sending me to prison?
Yeah, maybe the trick was you did not acknowledge that.
Let me tell you what. As an ex-prosecutor, anytime some stranger comes up and starts the conversation with, do you remember me? You just kind of feel the blood drain out of you. Cause it's
I bet.
It's never, you were my best friend in grade school.
Okay, here's what I was going to get to here today. What is the worst...
So we're not done with Craig yet.
What is the worst accident you've ever been in?
Me?
Yeah.
We're going around the room here.
There's this time I was on my way to swimming lessons. I was in a bus and
fully
loaded.
How old were you?
I was in the fifth grade.
Fifth grade, okay.
And a fully loaded log truck comes blasting down Otterville Road and doesn't stop at the Otterville Junction and knocks a school bus full of kids over into the field across the...
This is a true story.
Yeah, we were on our way to swimming lessons at Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And did you get hurt?
I didn't, because I was sitting in the seat with everyone's towels and book bags full of towels.
All
and,
packed around you?
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't until he saw the truck coming, and then they were
but
all
other people
around.
Were hurt? And yeah. It was just like mass confusion after the accident? And...
Yes. Yes. But that's also kind of what spurred on. Now, they were already in the process of trying to get the pool built and hardened. And
That was the impetus.
Yeah, that...
So, Mr. X-Town guy, how is the pool in Hardin doing?
Well, the...
It was leaking the last I heard.
Yeah, it's been
there
down
there was a
for...
bustle of kids from Hamburg that were on their way to Hardin, and they got hit by...
No.
Oh. And so now they're going to build a pool.
They got the pool association got an Oslide grant, $600,000, which isn't enough to get it where it needs to be, but... We're hoping that can get it back in.
Well, that's
operation.
Pretty good. Who landed that? Who knew what they were doing enough to write a grant?
Also, that's supposed to be an open space land acquisition grant. What's that got to do with the swimming pool? Go ahead.
It's used for parks a lot and pools. Yeah. Benton and Associates are the ones that helped us land that grant.
Well, there you go.
You did earn
a big salute.
You earned your keep. Congrats! Thank you for your service.
Thanks. Think of all the kids that are lucky enough to swim in that pool.
We're hoping to have it back open next summer.
So it's not open this summer.
No, there's been a lot of trouble getting the
water in it to stay.
No,
in
trying to get the
patch
permits
the crack.
Approved by the state, and so we're hoping that work is going to start here. This month.
The secret to that is just go ahead and do it.
It's
not
easier to beg for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
That's a rule of law.
That's how you deal with the state. You just forge ahead and say you're ignorant.
Rick, what's the worst accident you've ever been in? That you can remember.
I don't know that I've ever been in a serious accident. I
mean, it doesn't have to be a car, it doesn't have to be automotive.
I've wrecked a lot.
You could have fallen off a cliff or falling in Niagara Falls, or
no? I had a nail hit me in the eye while I was standing up on top of the rafter in the package shed.
I was there.
I toughed it out, though.
Oh my God! I never heard so much screaming and wailing and crying. And Dad's like, "Jesus Christ, are you going to work or are you going to cry all day?" That's what I remember.
Yeah, but you're 65 years old. Your memory isn't that good.
Probably not. Worst accident I ever been in, I don't know. Quite a few.
I was going to go with the one you had at my wedding, or that you brought to the wedding.
Oh, that motorcycle wreck. Yeah, that was pretty good. Was riding a dirt bike down a logging trail that shouldn't have. And
don't try this at home.
And I mean, it was steep. We're talking straight down, right? And I'm going down it, and I thought there was just like a little shrub in front of me, halfway down. And behind the little tiny shrub was a tree stump. And I hit that and went flying and tumbled down the hill with the motorcycle kind of at the same time. And the clutch handle broke off the motorcycle and went through my hand. And when I got to the bottom, I could move. It was just wide open. You could see the bones, the tendons, everything. It was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, so, and when Rick got married then, that summer, I still had the remnants of two pins and
sticking
stitches.
Out of his hand.
Oh, so that wasn't at the wedding. You didn't get married at a log yard.
No, that was a different disaster.
Yeah. Did you get married in Boston? Did you get married in Boston, or did you get married here?
Boston.
Yeah, that is Sue's worst accident. I also got hit by a train I was driving an MG Midget, got hit by a train.
That's a pretty good accident.
That was pretty exciting. That made front page paper. And then there's that other time I was riding in a car And it was rainy, the roads were slick, and as we were heading out of Jerseyville, a truck coming the opposite direction lost control and hit the car that I was in. Is myself and Henry Steckel. And the truck that hit us was a truckload of bricks, literally. And after he hit us, you know, we're right there in front of what used to be Sunderland Chevrolet, and there are just bricks all over the road. And I had this soda about like this as I'm riding along, and I'm eating breakfast. I have my soda right here, right, you know, kind of nestled between my legs.
Alan is now sitting in a chair with his soda between his legs.
And I was eating a sandwich and had this soda between my legs. And when we wrecked, the 42-ounce soda exploded right in my crotch. So that I'm standing in the roadway after the wreck.
Now this, yeah, that's the story he tells. That's the story he tells.
And the cop that comes up says, pretty scared, huh? No! That's not what happened!
When the show's over, I'm going to get the full story right.
That's the truth.
Okay.
That's the truth. What about that... I can think of one other accident you had. We were cutting weeds in the
hog lot. Oh, and you chopped my hand with the hoe. Yeah, yeah, there's that. Still got those scars.
That was a horrible accident.
Just I was
sleigh riding.
I was sledding one time. When I, whatever reason, couldn't talk anyone to go sledding with me. So I said, I'm going to go sled by myself. And we had a little path that we had cut down through the woods instead of like a open field or whatever. I'm going to go sled by myself down a really steep hill. And when I got to the bottom, we had cut a tree down to make the path, and it had the stump sticking up in a little point. And when I hit the bottom, I slid off of the sled, and that point of the stump ripped a hole in my thigh. Dang big one. As it turned out, you know, wasn't anyone there. So it's like a tree falling in the woods. If there's no one there to hear you scream, was there a scream? There wasn't any.
There was. We could hear it at the house.
So I had to walk. You know, I was a long way away. It was back behind our house and had to walk back. But fortunately, it was really cold, so it didn't bleed a lot until I got home. And Mom looked at it and go, oh, my God, you're going to need stitches. And I got a heck of a bunch of stitches.
Tractor inner tube or toboggan or runner sled. What were you on?
Runner sled.
Runner sled.
This was our youth, you know. That runner sleds were the only option in the day.
It was named Rosebud.
We're really old.
No, that's something else.
Okay, I did have one other accident that turned out poorly. In our apple packing shed, we had a basketball hoop. You know, and it was full court.
That was a good accident.
Full court basketball. But in the shed, we also had this giant box that fruit trees came in. It's like this giant long. Cardboard box, but we'd smashed it down on one end and made it into like a ramp so we could run up it and slam dunk the basketball. And we were taking turns.
For indeed, the Ringhausen brothers are not tall enough to slam dunk a basketball.
No, no way. So we were taking turns doing that, and I did my turn and I slam dunked it and did, you know, like the little hang on the rim, you know, like the big people do.
Right.
And I did that. When I came down, my leg just like folded under me. And snapped real loud. I mean, it was like a firecracker going out. You know, just broke my leg right there.
Turns
on the
out
spot.
It was a femur.
It hurt. But anyway, I'm laying on the concrete floor, and I got my brothers and, you know, a couple of our friends are there, and they're standing in a circle around me, laughing hysterically as I'm kind of doing this spin around on the floor like the Three Stooges do, and I'm like, oh, and they're all like, like five Bart Simpsons all standing around laughing. And at this moment, Dad walks into the shed and says, Jesus Christ, you're messing around. You're supposed to be loading a truck. You guys get back out there and start putting those apples on the truck. You take him to the hospital and get his leg fixed. And off we went. So then I get into the back of like our Ford LTD or whatever, and I'm scooching in because my leg is broke, and so I can lay out flat on the back seat of the car. And before I'm all the way in, Rick slams the door on my head so hard it almost knocks me out, to where that was more painful than my leg. Thank you, Rick.
And now we know what's wrong with Alan.
Okay, here's the deal. So I go to, you know, the hospital, and they said, well, there's so much, you know, in internal bleeding on your ankle that we can't get a real good shot of it. And plus, we think there's some, you know, tendon damage in there and stuff. So you need to wait a couple of days and then we'll come back and see what we need to do. And so I go in. They said, well, still a lot of bleeding there. We're going to put a cast on it, right? So they put a cast on it. For 6 weeks, I'm in this cast. And I go in and they cut it off because they said, well, it's probably not broken. It was just tendon damage. And so I go in there and I leave the doctor's office. I'm walking. I said, man, this does not feel good. And so I walked around on it for like a day or two. And finally, I said, you know, I called back up and said, this isn't right. And they said, well, go get it x-rayed again. So I go to the hospital, walk in, and they x-ray it. And I'm walking out after I got it x-rayed. And the technician comes running down the hall and says, hey, you've got a broken leg? I said, yeah, I know. So I had to go back in and get 6 more weeks in the cast again.
Did they have to re-break it because it set wrong?
Or? No, it's broken good enough the first time.
Oh. Nice.
That's why he's got a little gimp when he walks now.
By concrete floor.
I don't have a gimp
floor.
When I walk.
A little bit.
I'm an Olympic sprinter.
Concrete floor, I assume it was your dad's new shed, not the East Arden one with Casey?
It was the concrete floored shed, yeah. And it had warmed up a little bit to where the floor was kind of sweating a little bit, you know, like in the springtime. And that's what got me. That's what got me. Got me good.
Concrete floor, actually... tale involving that and your old man. Remember when we did Wizard of Oz second time,
yep.
And we did the flying machine. Well, he was instrumental in helping design and build the flying machine. And we needed big wheels from a hay rake to spin to get the leverage.
When we're talking about flying machine, we're not talking like Wright Brothers flying machine.
No, this was something
device
that would allow actors to float off the ground like in The Wizard of Oz.
Or Peter Pan or stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like the flying monkeys, we'd drop them down. Or Glinda the Good Witch, we'd fly her in and drop her down. And we built a machine that he had guys backstage to spin the crank and lift her up the ground.
And this is before internet and stuff where you can just look stuff up.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we go down in the woods, and there's a set of hay rake wheels, and your old man figures out how to get them off. He's got a monkey wrench and a leverage bar, and we get them off, and we're hauling them back up to the house. And Mom comes popping out of the house. Wait a minute. What are you boys doing with my hay rake wheels? She had them for decoration around the house. Now, they'd been in the woods for like 30 years.
I think you're selling it short, Rick. I think 130 years.
But once we got them off, then they're Mom's hay rake wheels. So we had to promise to bring them back, and they're still there now to this day. We did bring them back after we're done. But to do this flying, we had to get steel cable, right? So we go online and look up steel cable. And
again, this was before the days of the internet.
No, this was the internet.
Okay.
So we looked up a wire.
Which one of you two were capable of operating the internet?
I don't know. So we get this steel wire, right? And it's, you know, it says 500 pounds of tension. And then it says lifting weight, 120 pounds.
Oh.
Well, which one is it, you know? And then you have this notion that maybe we should test it first. So this is where we tie into the packing shed. So we go to the packing shed where you broke your arm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we get the forklift and we get some tractor weights. We get 120 pounds worth of tractor weights. And we tie those cables around them and lift it up off the ground. And that cable snapped like cotton string.
Really?
Oh, and when those...
That was a good thing to know before you put Glinda in the harness,
right?
No,
it was their daughters.
When those weights hit the ground, man, me and Jerry Seavers referenced it, and Dave Johnson all standing there looking at each other. And you could just tell we were all picturing some actress...
dying.
Balled up on the ground with broken legs that we had done that to him. Like, well.
So believe it or not, I was talking to Leslie this week, and she said, if you get a chance, ask Rick how that all went down with you and Dad and Bruce, with all three of your daughters being the ones. I guess at some point, the wives talked you guys out of lifting them up, but it won't.
Oh, that was in Greece.
Oh, that was in Greece, that Teen Angels.
Yeah, we were going to do that. In Greece, we were going to have the Teen Angel float in. That was
great. Oh, yeah.
Kristen. Now we were going to do
that's
that.
That's a beauty school dropout.
And in that case, we had steel cable also. And we just put it up over a pulley over the rafter. And we figured Kristen wasn't very heavy. And your dad wrapped that line around his arm to hold it to get a grip. And when Kristen sat on that, I guess taking even 100 pounds of weight and transferring it to a piece of steel cable, like cut his arm off. I mean, you should have heard him cater all before we get Kristen off that bench.
As the guy who did the flying rig for Peter Pan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They ended up, we went to a place down in Alton, a rigging place that does construction rigging for people who are like, you know, washing
Marco outs. Rope and Rigging.
Yeah, exactly. And so they
ran a boat harbor.
Nice. So they bring out the harnesses and clips and stuff, and they bring out this cable, and it's about as thick around as your thumb, you know. And we're like, whoa, we can need thinner cable than that. And he says, OSHA says that if you're going to lift humans, this is the cable you're going to use. Well, we understand that, but this is theater and needs to not show. He goes, OSHA says that if you're going to lift humans and we're going to sell this to you, this is what we're going to sell you. I said, okay. And they machine clamped the hooks on the end of it so that they wouldn't come off and set us up. It was impressive. And we did not kill anybody. But when they did Peter Pan, you guys did not just build your own machine.
No, we had a company come in and set it all up for us.
Wow, high tech.
Yeah.
That was during the Peter pandemic, wasn't it? We had just set all this rigging up, you know, and it's like scaffolding and everything with hooked up to where they could fly people in and out, and they set it up in the Cancelled Gym, and COVID hit, and we had to cancel.
And there
the
it sat.
But we had the contract and all this junk set up, so they finally decided to hold the Peter Pan at the fairgrounds in the open air.
You know, good. Yeah.
And then we got the rigging company to come back, take it down from Cancelled, and it's a completely different design up outside because outside at the Hardin fairgrounds, because there's no,
you know,
there's
limits.
No, there's no roof. There's no roof
to attach anything.
To attach it.
Okay.
So they had to put like a beam all the way across the stage, didn't they?
Correct. Yeah.
Wow.
And then they anchored, you know, up and across, and then they anchored forward and back to keep those uprights from moving.
And you actually had to train how to lift people.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. I mean, when you're sitting out at the audience at the end of that, when they fly up, looks like they're flying up over the roof of the gym against nighttime sky. It was really impressive.
Are they still paying that off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nah, but I'm trying to think.
We can talk about it now.
I'm trying to think how many people got COVID from that experience. Not many.
No, I don't think many did.
Craig's got it right now. That's why we got the spit screen.
And you're 6 feet away, so everything's fine.
And I've got my mask on.
You know, looking back, you know, like,
it's not like Rick's going to live that much longer anyway.
40 years from now, assuming that there's not another giant pandemic, you look back and tell people, you know, back in near 2000 or whatever it was, 2010, the world went crazy. It went absolutely bonkers crazy.
Rick, please stop talking. We've been out of time for like 10 minutes.
All right. See you later, everybody, from Rick Gator.
Craig it out.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Except no substitutes. The part of Laser Wolf was played by Craig Johnson.
Yes, sir. That was the worst accident I ever seen.
I'd get off right up here.